Scripture today is Luke 13, verses 31 through 35, from the New Revised Standard Version. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow and on the third day. And on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I desire to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Blessed be you.
Thank you, Merle, for reading the word for us, and Eileen for that children's time. Let's begin with prayer. Grateful, Lord, that you are a living God, that you are alive right here in our congregation, and your spirit is here, and that you speak to us this morning through a living word. And so we pray that you would speak, and we would have ears to hear, Lord. We want to follow you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning we have a story about a fox and a mother hen. Sounds like we are back in grade school and it's children's time. Gather around, everyone. In preparation for my sermon, I did a little research on what we can learn from the natural world about foxes and hens. I think God truly does speak to us through the way God created this incredible world. And how incredible is it in this story, we hear about a fox and a hen, and I naturally just want to understand them more. So I did a little research. I could have asked farmers in our congregation, but I went to poultrykeeper.com. Okay? Poultrykeeper.com told me this. The fox has to be every poultry farmer's number one enemy. Sadly, many people have lost their chickens or other poultry to a fox. And when it happens, it can be devastating. If a fox gets into a small run or a chicken house, there are a number of birds, up to 30 birds maybe in this house, they could all be killed. It's literally a killing frenzy for the fox. The fear that fox would bring to the chickens would be incredible. And I even read in poultrykeeper.com that chickens that have experienced an attack but lived through it literally have PTSD. Yes. They are flock animals, and when they witness an attack like that, they are infected later on. When they lose a cute buddy, like their brother or sister, it can be devastating to them. And you actually will see them in their fear, how that lives on when they've experienced an attack from a fox or a weasel or something, another animal. That's incredible to me that, first of all, how a fox could do that much killing, but that the chickens would actually experience that fear later on through PTSD. And so let's keep that in the back of our mind as we enter into this story this morning in Luke. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. A theme in Luke is that Jesus is on his way. He's setting his face towards Jerusalem. And we read in chapter 13, verse 22, right before this story that Merle read for us, it says, "Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem." So he's teaching, he's performing miracles, and he's on his way. He is setting his face towards Jerusalem. Significant for us to remember that. And we read in verse 31, "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, 'Get away from here, Herod wants to kill you. Now, this is not Herod the Great that we read in that wanted all the two-year-old babies killed. This would be Herod the Great's son, Herod Antipas. This is the Herod that had John the Baptist beheaded. And the Jewish historian, a great Jewish historian, has his theory on partly why Herod wanted to have John the Baptist killed was that they feared the influence of John the Baptist over the people. They saw the way people were drawn to John the Baptist. That people might put their trust in John the Baptist more than the king. And so there was a fear there, a fear of possible rebellion, that they would start following John the Baptist and not the king. And so John the Baptist was beheaded. And so here we have in this story that there is a fear that Herod wants to kill Jesus. So when Jesus hears this warning, he would have every reason to be filled with fear and to depart on his mission from going to Jerusalem. Now let's just pause here a second, and we're going to come back to the story in a bit. But I just want to pause here a little bit and think about this word, fear, today. Jesus certainly, I believe, would have had to be a little bit fearful in his humanness at least. And I think it's worthwhile just taking a little bit of time to think about the power of fear for us today. Fear tells us I'm not beautiful enough, which causes us to manipulate our bodies to try and find our worth in our physical appearance. Fear tells us that deep down in us, deep down we're not good enough, that we are insecure, and that often can cause us to put other people down to make us feel better. It can cause us to bully. I think it's one of the reasons teen suicide is on the risk. It goes on the rise. It goes back to that a deep fear and people treating wrongly out of that fear. Fear tells us we're not safe enough, which causes us to put our security in guns and violence. And in the United States, to have the largest military in the world of $686 billion, four times more than any other country. The root is in fear at some point. Fear tells us we don't have enough money, which causes me to be greedy and to store up more than I really need because I'm afraid of running out. We have a particular fear of death in America, which causes a lot of distress in many different ways. One of them, a terrible amount of suffering at the end of life, because the intensive care unit sometimes does not let people die. Fear of the outsider who is different than us, which causes us to put up walls and barriers, both literal walls that are keeping people out in our country, and the walls that we put up in our churches sometimes, so that we can feel safer. My own fears of the cost of discipleship. It's too risky, it's too uncomfortable. I'm afraid. It causes us to be more insular, to look inward more, instead of looking outward. All of this, I believe, goes back to this idea of how rampant fear is in our world and in my life. Fear, the devastating tragedy and violence and murder of Muslims in New Zealand. Fear was at the root of a lot of that, I believe. White supremacy is an evil, evil thing that needs to die. And I believe that fear needs to die with that. So how does Jesus respond to this fear? Get out of here, Jesus, run! Herod wants to kill you. How does Jesus respond? I love Jesus' response. It's wonderful. Listen here. Listen here. Go and tell that fox for me. Listen here. I'm casting out demons. I'm performing cures today and tomorrow. On the third day, I finished my work. And then I can imagine maybe this didn't get written into the text in Luke, but maybe this was more than Jesus would have said because we see it other places. Listen here. The evil one comes in fear to kill and destroy. But I'm here to bring light and bring life abundant. So go tell that fox I'm not going to be persuaded in my mission. Can you hear Jesus saying that? And then Jesus goes, drop the mic, I'm out. I mean, just absolutely responding to that fear with his mission. What is that mission? Well, we read in verse 33 that Jesus was going to say, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Nothing, not even Herod's desire to kill Jesus, stands in the way of Jesus' role in fulfilling God's will, which in our journey of Lent here, we're following Jesus to the cross. Jesus knows his mission for the salvation of the world, for each of us. That mission of self-giving up love for the sins of the world on the cross, so that we can have life and life abundant. Jesus knows his mission, and he will not let fear distract him on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus is that prophet that he's referring to, that lies ahead on the journey to the cross. And this Jesus who knows his mission so well is also this Jesus that we read desires to gather people in the midst of their fear, in the midst of brokenness, to gather them in and to show a different way. We read in verse 34, how often have I desired to gather you in? You gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you were not willing. Now, I've also read in my poultryfarmer.com, whatever it is, that if you approach a sitting hen and her chicks, she will often gather them in under her wings. And if you get too close, she will get very, very vocal and upset at you. There is a fierce protection and love from that mother hen for her chicks. The mother hen is essentially saying, stay back, buddy. You're not having my babies. And a mother hen would do everything in her power to protect. It's in her instinct. The way God created that mother hen to protect. The hen is hardwired to protect, to gather in. And this image of a hen protecting her chicks appears several times in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's incredible that God in the Hebrew Scriptures describes God as a mother hen that protects us. You can go to Deuteronomy 32:11, Ruth 2:12, Psalm 17:8, 36, or 91, Isaiah 31. All of these texts are this beautiful image of God as a mother hen gathering and protecting. So it shouldn't surprise us that, of course, Jesus, who knows the Scriptures and the Hebrew Bible so incredibly well, would bring this as an image in the midst of fear to say, I am this mother hen gathering you in. And yet, you rejected it. So then we ask this morning, Wicker Heights and friends, where do we go from here with this text this morning? One of the questions as followers of Jesus that I'm asking is, I'm aware of the fear. I know the fear. I'm surrounded by it. If I get on the computer, Facebook, media, there is always fear creeping in. So how do we respond? How do we respond this morning as followers of Jesus to this fear? So let's go back to Jesus. In the midst of this fear, Jesus knows his mission. He knows where he's going. And I think there's something to be said for that for us this morning. I think this morning, in the fearful world that we live in, we can be reminded of our mission. We are followers of Jesus. That's our identity, first and foremost. We are deeply loved. And that we have a God who, just like that mother hen, fiercely loves us and desires to gather us in. What if we remember that this morning? Remember again that identity. And as we remember that, we ask one another, okay, so how are we doing? How are we doing to not let fear win at the end of the day? At Celebration of Church Life on Friday, Marvin Lorenzano, who works for Medic Mission Network, which is the mission agency of Medic Church USA, it was really powerful. He shared from what we can learn from the early church in Acts 2. What is the three things in Acts 2 of characterize the early church? Fellowship. And he challenged us. He said, now when we think of fellowship, we think of potlucks. Yes, potlucks are wonderful, but what about the kind of fellowship where there's accountability? Where we are sharing with one another, how did you do this week in following Jesus? When's the last time you sat around the table eating our wonderful meals? And the number one question that we asked our brother or sister beside us was, how did you do this past week in following Jesus? That's the kind of fellowship and accountability that he's talking about. Prayer and scripture. This is the early church in Acts 2. Fellowship with accountability, prayer and scripture. And Martin was encouraging us to embody that. And that churches that embody that are making disciples that make disciples that make disciples. And I thought, man, that applies here in this fearful world that we're living in and the own fear that can creep in so easily and those eight different things that I listed in the beginning of where fear can get us to. We need that kind of accountability in church where we are vulnerably sharing with our brother or sister around the dinner table. How did you do this past week in following Jesus in the midst of all this fear? I'm speaking to myself here, being challenged by Martin's words. And so let's take that as a word of encouragement this morning, of how we can tap into our fellowship here on the journey. During Lent here, we're talking about spiritual formation. What is God doing in us in this season as we journey to the cross with Jesus and look towards resurrection? If you think back to Ash Wednesday, one of these stations, which was right here, we had all of those candles lit. And I love the theme of light as a visual this morning. And the station right here, this question that we had, you can pick a fruit of the Spirit, and you could put a candle over that fruit of the Spirit to represent what it means to burn off in this season of Lent in order for this fruit of the Spirit to become more alive in my life. And so I was thinking about that theme of light and the fire of Christ's light burning off that which needs to die. What if this next week, brothers and sisters, we ask, what in my life that connects to this fear that is all around, what needs to be burnt off? What needs to be burnt off in order for Christ's life to be more alive in my life? I'd like to end this sermon with a story. It's really powerful. It's really touched me. I think probably a year and a half back, I shared the story of M.J. Sharp, Michael Sharp. He was a United Nations peace worker and former worker of Midnight Central Committee. M.J. Sharp is the son of John Sharp and Michelle Sharp. John is a former professor at Heston College. He was actually one of my professors. 2 years ago, M.J. Sharp was murdered working for peace in the Congo, along with his co-worker for the United Nations, Zaida Katibola. To commemorate MJ's life and Zaida 2 years ago of their death, John and a group of about 10 other people hiked Mount Kilimanjaro. It was a dream of MJ's to walk Kilimanjaro, and he never got to do it. And so his dad, John, and this group climbed Kilimanjaro. It's a climb. And they spread his ashes on the top of Kilimanjaro as a way to honor the work of MJ in his life. And they raised money on the way. And I think the last I heard, they had about $100,000 that was raised. And that money was going to go to the Center for Justice and Peace at EMU for an endowed scholarship to give back to Congolese students who want to come and learn the way of peace. To carry on MJ's work. There's this really incredible story about MJ. In the midst of just unbelievable fear, I have to believe, and his response. It's called MJ and the Bandits. While returning from a mission, Sergei and MJ encountered a bus parked sideways across the road blocking traffic. Armed and masked men had forced passengers and the driver to get naked and lie face down on the road. The bandits were taking what they wanted. While Sergei was shivering in his seat, MJ got out of the vehicle and confronted the bandits. What are you doing? How can you treat people like this in their own country? This isn't right. Why do you do this? The men disappeared. MJ asked for the driver when convinced the bad guys had left. The driver cautiously identified himself. MJ told the people to get dressed and go on their way. And then Sergei asked MJ, why did you do that? Basically saying, you could have been killed there. And MJ's response, don't worry. Two things could happen. We get kidnapped, and if we do, my country will look for me. Then we'll be free. Second, they could kill us. And if they do, our spilled blood will bring change to this country. So what do you say now, Sergei, that MJ and Zaida's blood has been shed? And Sergei's response, things in Congo are changing. We have a new government. The president has freed political prisoners. Even before the election, things were changing. Michael, MJ is still with us, working for change. Everyone knows MJ and Zaida died. Everyone. They will not be forgotten. From Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rises up against me, yet I will be confident. Let's pray. O God, you are our God. This morning we seek you. We thank you. Just as a mother hen fiercely protects her chicks, you long to protect us, to shelter us. This morning, remind us who you are and your love for us. We are your beloved. Help us this Lent, dear Jesus, to burn away the things that make us fearful. Remind us again of your unfailing love in Jesus for each of us. Remind us of your faithful journey to Jerusalem that led you to the cross. You are our light and our salvation. Through Christ we pray. Amen.